Well, free speech is the hallmark of any democracy. Ireland, though, is looking to end free speech with a new hate speech bill, which would, among other things, potentially get you arrested if you're caught with a meme or a cartoon or any content that the government deems it rises to the level of being hate speech. And actually, they haven't really even defined what that means, so we don't even know. But my wife sends me memes all the time. I guess if I'm an Irish citizen, I, of course, could then be potentially arrested under this law that's deemed hateful by the Irish government. Elon Musk said this yesterday about Ireland's law and posted this on X. Destroying freedom of speech means destroying democracy. Here's a group that released this new ad and this new video speaking out against this bill. Take a look.
The Irish government is proposing a law known as the Hate Speech Bill that threatens free speech. This law could have dire consequences for our democracy.
Next month, and then
this law will have uncertain effects on artistic and musical expression.
Please support us.
It could stifle the activity of public campaigning on political and civil issues, and also curtail speech relating to topics about religion, ethnicity, sex, and gender.
Well, David Thunder is Irish. That's not all he has going for him. He's very, very smart as well. He's a researcher, a lecturer in political philosophy, and he joins me now from Ireland. David, welcome back to the show. Is Ireland a democracy any longer, or is it slipping away from democracy as we speak?
I would say that Ireland is, unfortunately, under the current government, is slipping towards what I would call an oligarchy, or rule by elite rather than rule by the people. The current government seems to be completely out of touch with what people want, what their interests are. And this hate speech bill is a perfect example, because there was no popular demand for this radical and draconian piece of legislation. The government just decided to just push it through, in spite of the fact that the majority of submissions from the public were actually against the bill.
Why would they push this through? I mean, where is this coming from? So I'm always curious when suddenly we see this big push for legislation in a country and the Irish people are not asking for this. Where is it coming from? Have you been able to track this down?
Well, there are two places that it's coming from, in my opinion. One is from the European Union, because there's a 2008 Council framework decision on combating certain forms and expressions of racism and xenophobia by means of criminal law, which obligates member states to criminalize hate speech and also to criminalize the denial of genocide. So they're acting under this framework decision, which is binding upon member states. So that's the first thing. That particular framework decision did not obligate them to introduce the category of gender as a protected category. That's not coming from the European Union. And I would suggest that this redefinition of gender is coming from the trans lobby. It's clear that the government is responding more to lobbies than to popular demand. And we know this for a long time, that all governments operate under pressure from lobby groups. But the Irish government in particular, I'm at a loss to explain why they would radicalize the definition of gender unless it's under the influence of trans lobbies.
Is the trans lobby so massive? I mean, who's financial? I always want to know where the money is, right? Who's financially supporting this massive trans lobby so much so that they're creating legislation that would have you arrested if you have some sort of meme or cartoon on your phone that would rise to the level that would really upset this trans group? Like, where is this money coming from?
Well, that's a great question. My understanding is that these self-styled progressive groups, I consider them regressive, mm-hmm. but they would self present as progressive, are from the government. They actually receive money, funds, grants from the Irish government. The Irish government gives millions and millions every year to NGOs, including progressive NGOs. And also there are very large international foundations like the George Soros. I understand the Soros Foundation helps to fund some of these kind of progressive lobby groups and NGOs. So probably if you did a paper trail, you'd probably find money coming from very interesting sources.
I swear to God, every time I ask that question, I'm never surprised to hear George Soros's name pop up on a regular basis with these groups. And these, anytime you see these organized protests, you see these, you know, these groups showing up on Capitol steps and they're moving towards this, George Soros's name is always somehow tied to it. I'm curious though, the other side of this, we showed you a video here, which Elon Musk retweeted yesterday or reposted yesterday. It's what we just showed you here on the show. I'm kind of stunned that there seems to be some sort of an effort. I don't know if it's grassroots or not, but to try to put a stop to this in Ireland. What do you make of the resistance group or the resistance movement there in Ireland against this?
Well, I think that it's genuinely grassroots in the sense that I don't think that there's like massive money coming in from the United States to support the cause each. And certainly I don't think the government is actively funding, you know, pro-free speech groups. So my sense is that it's a genuinely, very authentically grassroots, doesn't have any members. And I think they're making a disproportionate impact compared with their actual size. And I've cooperated with them in some capacity in the past. And there are a number of members of the parliament and of the Senate who have come out strongly against this legislation. So it's very much a minority, let's say, a minority report, if you will, among the more influential actors. It's a minority who are coming out against this. But the thing is, I think that the case against this hate speech legislation is so powerful at a common sense level that I actually think that in a way it should resonate with a lot of people of goodwill. Because, I mean, who wants to have their home raided because they have an article sitting on their hard drive that somebody thinks could offend somebody out there? I mean, it's so obviously wrong and so illiberal and regressive to allow the police to get a warrant to raid your property because of something you haven't even published.
Right, right. It's unbelievable. You brought up a key element of this, and I'm sorry if I sort of maybe buried the lead on this, but I would love for you to, can you explain to our audience exactly what this hate speech bill does? And was I being hyperbolic when I said, you know, if you had a meme on your phone or you had a meme on your hard drive or a cartoon or you had something that's on your hard drive that the government didn't like, they could come into your house and they could actually arrest you. Am I being hyperbolic there?
I don't think you're being hyperbolic, but I think you just have to nuance it slightly because the legislation in question does require that they show recklessness or intentionality. So in other words, when you, for example, send a meme, it's not enough that you sent a meme and it sparked hatred. Another condition is that, you know, that you could have reasonably foreseen that this meme would spark hatred. And I guess that there is some sense of recklessness in sending out that meme. I'm not happy with that nuance. I don't think that covers our freedom. Because I think we should be perfectly within our rights to send out a meme. And I think we should be perfectly in our rights to use hard-hitting discourse. And I think this is really at the heart of this legislation. And this is the real problem with this legislation, is that it undermines the possibility of vibrant and hard-hitting democratic discourse. There will be some citizens, namely the citizens who happen to have the wrong positions, the positions that are not looked upon favorably by the powers that be or the government, who will be potentially prosecuted for their speech. And other citizens, for example, citizens who support trans rights or citizens who are all gung-ho for open borders and free immigration, who will not be affected by this. So it's a fundamentally unequal piece of legislation. It goes after people for their political opinions. And the effect it has is that it selectively silences some citizens over others because of the way these protected categories are crafted. And the main innovation on in this latest iteration, because we already have hate speech legislation, unfortunately, on the books in Ireland, is that it adds gender to and disability to the protected characteristics. So clearly, that's why I'm saying that there is very likely the influence of a transgender lobby in crafting this legislation. Because and the way they define gender, by the way, is crazy, because gender is whatever you identify with, and it could be male or female or something else. So it's a totally open-ended definition. And it could mean, I mean, who knows? I identify gender X, and right. Nobody knows quite what that is, but that's what I identify with. So now that's protected, right? So it's a very strange, legally speaking, it's a very strange piece of legislation.
Well, we hope there's enough grassroots support. There's enough members of the government that are going to stand up and say no to this. But as you pointed out, this is going to be debated in the Senate. There's no real timetable on this yet, but it's moving through the government as we speak, is it not?
That's right. And if the government gets its way, it'll be passed within a few months. The best case scenario is that some of the more egregious parts of the legislation might be modified or might be softened. You know, I'm not too optimistic about getting this off the books completely. It's already on a lot of the elements of this legislation are already on the books. That's important to point out, such as being able to raid your property for unpublished material. That's already on our statute books. They want to make it easier to prosecute those kinds of crimes, what they call crimes. So it's very worrying. And the one bright light sort of in the middle of all of this for me is that it has sensitized people. A lot of people have become aware that their liberties are in jeopardy. And citizens need to wake up. They need to realize that the people who are governing us don't care about us. They don't care about our freedom. And they're more interested in cozying it up to the European Union and their colleagues there, or the lobby groups, or what have you, than actually just catering to the normal, ordinary, everyday interests of citizens. And that's a good wake-up call for people, you know, to get off their sofa and, you know, get engaged.
Well said. Well said. Hopefully people are waking up, but it's not just enough to wake up. It's time to take action. Organize protests. Call your government officials and let them know that you do not stand for this. And there's power in organizing, as Germany is currently experiencing right now, and as France is currently experiencing right now. So Europe better pay attention, because something big is happening in Europe. David Thunder is in Ireland. We really appreciate it, and we'll be watching this very closely. David, where can people find you?
Well, they could find me on my blog on Substack, which is davidthunder.substack.com. And they can also find me on Twitter at David J. Thunder.
Very smart man. I encourage all of you to go out and follow David. We really appreciate your insights on this, and thank you for standing for free speech, David. Great to see you today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much for watching this segment here at Redacted. We are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, trying to share the stories that the mainstream media will not cover. You should also come over and join our community of Redacted Rebels over at redacted.inc. That's our private locals community, where we can share exclusive content that we simply cannot share here on YouTube. Come over and join the rebellion together right now by going to redacted.inc. We'll see you next time.